Two dudes watch cartoons. Two dudes watch cartoons. Two dudes watch cartoons. Two dudes watch cartoons. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Welcome back to Two Dudes Watch Cartoons, the podcast where two dudes, that is us, watch cartoons. My name is Evan.
And my name is Alex, and we're coming to you with round two, round of eight. I almost said round three. We've done three of these podcasts.
Yeah.
No, it's round, yeah, okay. Well, we're coming to you with results, Pixar March Madness. We're continuing. I wanted to give the viewers just a little insight here. I feel this is actually a really good example of our relationship, our friendship, Evan. Mm-hmm. So we have this browser, Riverside, that we shoot in. And every time we record, Evan texts me the link. And so I've, for all these years, however long we've been using Riverside, was thinking that he was sending me a new link to record. And today he texts me and goes, you know, it's the same link I use every time. You should just bookmark it. What? Dude, I'm stunned. Why haven't you told me this sooner?
I don't know. I thought maybe you'd just pick up on it, I guess. Hey, Riverside FM, use the referral link in our bio if you want to sign up.
Oh, accidental ad. Okay. Wow. Yeah. Well, I'm excited. We got some good matchups here. I don't know the results yet. Evan, you know the results. You're going to hand them off to me, and I'm going to read them live on air. Mm-hmm. But I'm nervous.
Decidedly much harder round. We had people texting us that they almost were refusing to vote, and we said your vote matters because the stakes are higher. If you want your team to advance, you gotta vote. So we're knocking doors. But yeah, none of these are easy matchups to vote in or predict.
People are gonna be upset. Yeah, yeah. The predictions. Yeah, all right. I'm excited. We're gonna jump into it here in a minute. You know, I actually thought before we get into the results, really tease the audience here, I wanna just discuss our eight teams moving on. Yeah. You know, four of them will be moving on, because when I was looking at this, our round of eight, these eight movies, I think you could argue, and this is maybe kind of why we did this, these eight movies represent all of Pixar's success, in my opinion. You're missing maybe like a Cars, which, you know, is really, really emblematic of the brand. But like these eight movies, if you were like needing to introduce someone to Pixar, you would show them these eight movies.
This is the dream team, yeah.
This is it. You'd show them one and they'd be like, oh, I really like this. And you'd keep showing them the rest of these.
Mm-hmm.
One by one, we'll talk about, once again, some pros and cons. We'll do it, like I said, before we get into the results. We can save that a little. So starting with our number one seed, though, we got Toy Story. We've discussed it. Toy Story is the OG. They are the ones that kicked this all off. One thing I saw that was interesting, I was doing a little research. Toy Story 1 really wanted to have a character that was Barbie. And they reached out to Mattel. You know, Mattel is now a huge movie-making success in the year 2024. Yeah. But back then, they said to Pixar, we don't believe the world's first ever computer-animated movie will be a success. And so they pulled Barbie. And then, a huge success, they came knocking back at the door for Toy Story 2 and said, please, will you include Barbie?
And they were in a purgatory of shitty direct-to-video CGI movies up until this Barbie live action. Now, Alex, you know my background in college was in accounting and finance. I started my career in banking, and I thought I'd take a look into the numbers and look at the box office earnings of each of these players, each of these contenders in the tournament. And granted, you know, 1995 is when Pixar began as a studio, and we're in 2024, 30-ish years later.
Yeah, we're coming up on the 30th anniversary.
You know, so I wanted to look at the dollar-to-dollar comparison, so I went to the government inflation calculator and plugged them in by month, by year. Toy Story, I mean, the box office for all of these movies speaks for itself. Toy Story 1995, let me double check their 1995 number. Box office of $394.4 million. When you plug it in 2024 dollars, February 2024, because March 2024 month is not yet complete, that comes out to $796.83 million at the box office, even by today's standards. absolutely phenomenal, especially for an animated movie. Yeah.
That is crazy. That is, we usually, you know, Avatar Way of Water is a box office success. So oftentimes we don't include the box office, but that does mean something. People showed up. And what I think it means for an animated movie is a little bit more because, like, people showed up. People really showed up to see this movie. And, you know, while it is a quote-unquote kids movie, I'm not going to sit here and say Toy Story isn't. I think there's a lot of things that adults could enjoy in it. It has Tom Hanks and Tim Allen, two of the biggest actors at the time. You know, I also saw Billy Crystal, who plays Mike Wazowski, was supposed to voice Buzz, and he turned it down for a different project. No one believed in Pixar. No one believed in Toy Story, and they proved all the haters wrong. And they got Billy Crystal comes knocking. Hey guys, do you think I could be in one of your movies?
And that's why they cursed Mike Wazowski to never be in the promotional materials ever again, or always be obscured.
What's so funny is everyone rolls with that joke, like like streaming services, like everywhere, magazines, perfect.
Now, here's one. I can't imagine Billy Crystal in that role. But if in an alternate universe that is what had happened, who do you think would have played Lightyear in the modern, the 2023-2022 update to it?
I gotta really picture this. You love a good fan casting.
Like so Tim Allen to Chris Evans.
To Chris Evans.
Is Billy Crystal, Billy Crystal? This is your SAT. Billy Crystal to who?
Oh, okay. No. I like this game, though. I like this game. Let me think. Do you have someone? This is interesting. I gotta think about this for a second.
I don't know why. I think this person's just been on my mind. I don't know why. But Jay Baruchel.
Okay.
I don't think he's got the star power of Chris Evans, so I might need to revisit that.
I'm trying to really picture who's like a different Chris Evans.
What, while you ponder can I tell you why he's been on my mind?
Yeah, please. Actually, yeah.
I think he might. Maybe it happened in a dream, but at some point the thought crossed that he would be a very funny Andrew Garfield fake out for Deadpool if they had someone from the Sony Spider-Man universe. If they came up behind him and turned around as Jay Baruchel, the profiles kind of.
Oh,
matched.
I think you nailed it. I think it's gonna be Ryan Reynolds. I feel like that's the other one. If it had been Billy Crystal.
Yeah. That's very good, yeah. Ryan Reynolds. I'll take it.
Okay, interesting. That is an interesting fact here. Oh, my last one about Toy Story. We're jumping back to Barbie. I didn't know Barbie was voiced by Jodie Benson, who plays the Little Mermaid.
Little Mermaid?
Ariel. Wow. Yeah, I almost forgot her name.
Okay.
So, but once again, that didn't come in until Toy Story 2. No one believed in Toy Story 1. And here we are, almost 30 years later with Toy Story, 100% Rotten Tomatoes, you know, possibly making its way to the final four of this tournament here.
Maybe an existential thought. 1995, 30 years ago, you know, watching Toy Story as a kid, you always imagine Buzz and Woody as, like, adults. Their voices are very adult. Tom Hanks, currently age 67. 30 years ago, he was 37. We're not that far from.
Wow. What am I doing with my life?
That's a mind fuck, yeah.
Wait, that is
Tom Hanks has
crazy.
Always been the same age to me, though. You know what I mean?
That's like the first time you're watching college sports, and you're like, oh, these guys are great. You're like, oh, my God, wait, they're younger than me now.
Yeah. All right. Sorry, did you have anything else on Toy Story?
No, I mean, Toy Story speaks for itself. Great, great film, great team. Let's talk a little bit about Coco here. Coco, something I learned, it started production 6 years before the film was released, which is not normal for a Pixar movie.
Really?
It's too long.
6 years? Because
Toy Story
I feel
4
like...
took them three, four, excuse me, Toy Story 3 took them 4 years. So it might be the longest time it's ever taken them on a movie.
Okay. I was reading up on Incredibles that the idea for it came up about around 93, but it maybe didn't start production.
I think that's what it is. I think that's the difference there.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. And so Coco, though, to me, when I'm looking at the rest of these teams, it is a standout in the sense. Now, this is going to maybe sound a little goofy at first, But it is a standout in the sense that it relies so heavily on music. Now, I'm not saying these other Pixar movies don't have great musical moments, numbers, or whatever, but the music is literally intertwined into the Coco universe. And what I thought was super interesting is they did so much research. You should appreciate this, Mr. Guitar. They even made sure the character's fingers were correct for the chords that they were playing. I thought that was some real dedication.
That is impressive. I don't think I
noticed. There's no need for it. There's no need for it because I would have never have known if I hadn't read it on the internet.
Yeah. Now, what year did that come out?
Coco.
2015? 2017?
No. 2017.
Okay. Last episode, it was up against Bug's Life, and Bug's Life had sort of the twin movie phenomena with ants, and you're like, Coco doesn't have that working against it. I just want to bring up the fact that the movie, The Book of Life, does exist. It was I think it had
similar enough.
They're both Dia de los Muertos movies.
Yeah, okay. I haven't seen The Book of Life. Yes, what are you talking about?
Okay. Anyways, 2014, so.
It's 3 years difference. I've never seen The Book of Life.
Oh,
sounds like
Diego Luna and Zoe Saldana and Channing Tatum.
Okay. What?
But, yeah.
Why is he there?
It was a Fox Animation, which is now acquired by Disney. So
what is that
both
gringo doing
Plus.
In that movie?
What is he up to these days? Anyways, I thought it was worth mentioning that there was a bit of a twin movie phenomenon there.
Another interesting fact about Coco, obviously, is very influenced by Mexican culture and Mexican traditions. They wanted to make sure they made a movie that, you know, Mexicans would be proud of. And when the movie premiered, I don't know what time frame, but it did become the highest grossing movie in Mexico. Not animated movie, the highest grossing movie in Mexico at the time. And then I looked up, I was like, okay, so it's probably not the case anymore. This was 2017. What's the highest grossing movie in Mexico now? Super Mario Bros. Mexico loves animated films. Let's go.
Yeah, it's good picks. Oh,
good picks.
Mexico does love animated films because I just want to take a brief moment to say rest in peace, Akira Toriyama. He passed away this past week, like very suddenly, very unexpectedly.
Too young.
Too young. Absolute legend. And the impact has been felt worldwide, but particularly in Latin America, in places like Mexico. I keep seeing clips of when Dragon Ball Kai, I think, was ending. Municipalities around Mexico would be screening, like doing big public screenings of like the final fight in Japan, or you know, whoever runs Dragon Ball Z or owns Dragon Ball Z would like send a cease and desist, and the Mexican government was like just ignored it and was like, I guess pirating.
They're like, never.
and so these videos have like huge crowds, so all respect. Maybe two dudes watch cartoons. We gotta brush up on our Spanish.
I was about to say, we need a Spanish dub these things. You and I will get in there and start doing some Spanish dubs. That's the way of the future here. So yes, Coco, great film. Toy Story and Coco. We will announce results in a minute, but we're gonna go one by one.
By the box office numbers, Coco. Yeah. Box office take in 2017 had earned $814.3 million. In 2024 dollars, that would be $1 billion in
$1 billion. Yeah. Wow, good for Coco. That's no small feat.
No small feat.
No
whatsoever.
Small feat. It's more than Toy Story. Okay. Moving on. Finding Nemo, which is mine, winner pick. And so I thought about that last week and I was like, why did I say that? And I had to wait a whole week to do that. And I got just the laugh I needed out of you from
there.
It. Yep. I got just the laugh I needed. Okay. So Finding Nemo. What is so interesting to me about Finding Nemo, the director came up with the idea when he was a child watching the fish in the fish tank at the dentist office and imagining that they were from the ocean and probably wanted to go back home. And so I think that's really interesting that almost like the B plot of the movie is what inspired the rest of the movie. Another thing that's interesting, do you watch Shameless?
I don't. I never
got
into it.
Didn't ever get into it.
I missed the boat. Haley is really into it, but I never.
William H. Macy was supposed to play Marlin. to the point where he recorded, they said, like, almost the first quarter of the movie, and they replaced him with Albert, what is his name? Albert, Brooks? Which, Albert Brooks, I don't, like, the voice of Marlon is so, I like, ingrained in my...
Willem Dafoe? Is he...
Not Willem Dafoe. Not no, Willem no. Dafoe. William H. Macy.
No, I know, but I'm looking at the cast list.
Oh, yeah, Willem Dafoe's in it.
He's the striped one in the
Angelfish. Yeah. So I got a funny story about angelfish. Angelfish are my favorite fish because when I was in elementary school, they would, in our classroom, when it was a student's birthday, put a fish on the wall, and it would stay there the rest of the year. And it had your name on it, and each fish was different, and it had your name and your birthday on it. My birthday is in the goddamn fucking summer, so I didn't get my fish till the end of the fucking school year. So, like, the last month, they did all the summer birthdays, but I got a fucking angelfish, and everyone was so jealous. And I was like, yeah, it is pretty cool. I know.
Was this so every time I post Finding Nemo?
Finding Nemo. So when I saw this movie, then I was like, oh, yeah, that fucking badass fish. That's my fish.
Wow.
It's funny how we psychologically, like, that was like kindergarten. You know what I mean? Like, that was so long ago.
Now, Finding Nemo had earned May 30th, 2003, $940.3 million then.
Wow. Then. This is why I picked them.
That's insane. That's movies were not crossing the billion-dollar mark.
For an animated movie, too? What is that in today's numbers?
2003, in 2024 dollars, almost $1.6 billion.
$1.6 billion.
That's almost Avatar 2 numbers.
That's Avatar Way of Water numbers, baby. What is it about the ocean? People, the ocean. People love the ocean.
It's the ocean.
The call of the ocean gets them to the theater. Wow. Crazy stuff.
It's our highest. I think it's our highest earner in this round, and I would imagine probably.
I didn't know this when I picked them. I also, once again, another special thing about Finding Nemo, I saw it the week before it came out. Imagine Theaters was brand new, and they were like, special screening of Finding Nemo, nowhere else. And I was like, my dad took me, and I was like, hell yeah, this is the goddamn movie of the year.
Shout out Imagine Theaters.
Shout out Imagine Theaters. Last bit of fun fact for Finding Nemo. Everyone's favorite turtle, Crush, is voiced by the director. He was a placeholder while they looked for a better voice, but everyone fell in love with it, so he stayed. And to really get the sound of, like, stoner relaxation, he recorded all of his lines while lying down on a couch. Oh.
Mine? Hi?
Hi? Hi? Yeah, maybe that's code for, but no, it says he was laying down on a couch recording all his lines. And then Brad Bird's son... plays Squirt. Another, they just heard his voice one day and they were like, yes, that's who we are looking for.
I got to revisit that. That one is a cute movie. As much as I was ragging on you last time, I still don't want it to take the trophy, but it is a good one.
Okay, all right. And so Finding Nemo versus another fan favorite we've learned, Ratatouille. Ratatouille. What year did it come out? Do you have that up? I don't. I'm sorry.
2007. June 2007.
So coming out 4 years after Finding Nemo, I'd still call it like the same era of Pixar, but we are probably moving out of and into a more newer era with Pixar here. Now, this fun fact I have is more a visual one, so I'm not sure I'll be able to properly do it. But while Remy the Rat is, like, running through the buildings, we get flashes into, like, people's homes, apartments. And there's a couple of really interesting scenes. One is someone painting, like, a nude person, like you see her back. And then the other one is 100% a woman pointing a gun at a man. And it's just a flash, and you run past it. And it's like, whoa! So, I thought that was pretty cool. And, you know, a lot of these movies, we're skipping over this, they have like links to other Pixar movies, and it's not just like that
Easter
theory, but
eggs.
Like, Easter eggs is a great one for this. Okay. So like Remy runs into a dog in one of the apartments, and it is like 1,000% the shadow of Doug from Up.
Okay.
Which is fun. Yeah, it's probably not fun. Doug. I just I think it probably starts like, you know, they only have so many characters for dogs. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So many CGI models.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly.
I'm also seeing here it's scored by Michael Giacchino, who, as we know on this podcast, scored The Batman. So the score for this one doesn't ring a bell because I haven't watched this movie in a long time, but he's a great composer. He's a great film composer.
This movie is really praised for, this is not so much a fun fact, but like its upage use of like shadows and light in Pixar movies comparatively to the ones that came before it, and also just like the attention to detail. Like you can tell the furniture is really old and like the mice have been running on it. You can see little scratch marks. Remy bites a hand at one point and it like heals progressively as the movie goes on. So like I said, I do think this is sort of like a new era for Pixar. I don't want to say they're taking it more seriously, but that's all I could kind of think of terms-wise. Like, there's an attention to detail that maybe they didn't have money, time, whatever for before.
Yeah, so much so, attention to detail, that one of the producers, Brad Lewis, was allowed to intern at the French Laundry under renowned chef Thomas Keller, similar to Coco. They want to get the details right. This is like Jon Favreau learning how to cook from Roy Choi for Chef.
For Chef.
Which is
this
movie.
Bradley Cooper levels of 6 years of learning how to conduct? Another interesting point is to really illustrate how fancy the restaurant is that they work at. When you open the menu in Ratatouille, no prices. You just got to order and you hope you have enough money.
It's all written in cursive, and we're illiterate.
It's the worst first date you could do. You're like, sir, how much is this chicken?
Rip. Just I always order. Well, I mean, when there are prices, I don't go to places.
Evan's like, never in my days.
I forget where. I think this is maybe a tweet or something from like the Vampire Weekend lead singer. Like he's like, always just order the second cheapest wine on the menu.
Yep. Yeah, I've heard that.
So you're looking
too.
Like you're giving a consideration. Ratatouille. Let's look at the box office take. $623.7 million in 2007. 2007, that's old, man. All these movies are fucking old.
Yeah,
we're
old.
We're old. In 2024 dollars, adjusting for inflation, $928.96 million. So
Pixar executives are just rolling in it now.
Yeah.
They're literally laughing to the bank. Because here's the thing, like, while we're not talking Succession, like all of their movies they've done in a row, the number of successes that we're talking about just in a short period of time is really unheard of. Man, we had never said this before the podcast, but I see it more and more as we keep talking about it. This is like the American Studio Ghibli.
Yeah, absolutely. Which, I mean, Pixar and Disney have won Best Animated for pretty much the entirety of its existence, save for like an instance here or there, and only recently have started losing out in the category, which I'm sure they're not happy about. But recently lost out to the master, Hayao Miyazaki.
The master, indie, he called him.
To an indie distributor, G-Kids.
We call him Sensei.
We call him Sensei. If you need to record a podcast remotely, riverside.fm is the place to do it. Alex and I have been making Two Dudes Watch Cartoons remotely across states, pretty much across the continental U.S. for 3 years now. We've tried several things, and this is what works best, honestly.
Zoom turned out terrible. We used a couple other ones that we paid for that turned out terrible.
You're looking at the interface right now. I think I'm doing the screen record correctly.
Riverside has made doing this podcast as easy as possible. Riverside FM.
Head to the link in our bio to get started. That's riverside.fm.
Today.
Today.
Moving on to the East before we get on to the results. What's up now? Oh, Incredibles. Is the next movie we're going to be talking about.
2004, directed by Brad Bird, earned $631.6 million. Adjusted for inflation, that's $1 billion.
A billion. Wow.
That's $1 billion. Directed by Brad Bird. So he had come up with the concept in 1993 while he was sort of in the throes of working on Iron Giant. And so in that process, that was, you know, Iron Giant, box office wise, monetarily, was a flop. And so he was sort of struggling with the idea of like,
maybe it was because he was working on other projects while he was supposed to be working on Iron Giant.
But, you know, the themes of like having to sacrifice family for career were very prevalent in his mind. And so he originally wanted this to be 2D animation. But, you know, after the flop, he reached out to his friend, John Master, because they had gone to school together, I guess, and started working on it as a 3D computer animated film at Pixar. One of, I think, the only maybe Pixar films that does not include the Toy Story, the Pizza Planet truck in it.
Wow. Are you sure there's no Pizza Planet truck at the end fight?
According to this trivia website that I'm reading from.
We'll trust it. We will trust it.
I trust it, yeah. Despite the fact that it's been, you know, it's widely known that there's no pizza truck, there are some fans who still persist and look for it. They're like, no, no way.
I'm that fan. That's me right now. I said there's no way. Because here's the thing. Even Brave, which takes place in like the middle century, has a little toy Pizza Planet truck carving that they were able to sneak in. You're in a goddamn city. What do you mean you didn't work in a Pizza Planet truck? It's the rule.
Don't shoot the messenger. I'm just reading from a website. Bradbird also voiced Edna Mode in The Incredibles. He does the voice.
Wait.
Edna Mode. Yeah.
That's Brad Bird. I never knew that. After all these years, I never knew that. And you know what's really weird is I never once looked up the voice of Edna, even though it's such an iconic voice. Edna. Oh, you have to come in, darling.
It's a great voice. Iconic. I wonder if they do. They must do that with more of their films, if they've done it for this and Finding Nemo.
Yeah.
It's a nice touch.
I like it. It's like the who's the guy that's in Everyone? The voice. John Ratzenberg.
I agree.
That's a fun touch.
Also, so there is an Incredibles 2. 14 years between first and sequel. It's the longest span between a Pixar movie and its sequel in their body.
That's Avatar numbers. Yeah. Just kidding. Avatar catches so many strays on this podcast out of nowhere.
You know James Cameron's out there in a fucking submarine doing some shit right now.
He's going to listen to this and be so pissed.
He's always calling in on like SATCOM, like from his command center to do all these press interviews.
We got to get him on. We need to pick his brain. Live from the submarine.
Yeah. So Incredibles has a tough matchup this round.
I know. Yeah. I'm worried. I'll be honest, just while we're talking about it, Incredibles and Up is the one I feel like I have zero idea how it could go. The others, I think I have an idea of what could happen. But I will say this next, the matchup we'll talk about after, I'm kind of at a loss also. I see both happening.
Well, Up, directed by Pete Docter. He's a name, if you watch some of the animated movies we've covered, I think he was one of the co-directors on Into the Spider-Verse. I don't know about Across, but he's worked on those movies.
Nice.
Movie came out in 2009, debuted at Cannes Film Festival.
I think it's pronounced Cons.
Oh, okay.
Not Raising Cane's, because I used to say Cane's also, and someone was like, no, it's Cons.
Raising Cane's. Box office of $735.1 million in 2009, which comes out to $1.066 billion. Yeah.
Up, I know, is one of the ones that won Best Animated Picture.
Also
did Coco, though. And Incredibles.
Yeah, a lot
Coco
of these
did also. Wow. Yeah,
I'm sure Finding Nemo did. So Up won Best Animated, but it also was up for Best Picture. And it lost to
Right. That's why it's such a big deal. It's one of the few that was up for Best Picture. It didn't win, but as they say, it is an honor to just be nominated.
It's true, yeah. I think Beauty and the Beast is the only other.
Beauty and Beast is. I think there might be three or two. There's two or three that have been nominated. Yeah. I don't think an animated's ever won Best Picture. I actually, in my Oscar pool, I predicted that Boy in the Heron might get a Best Picture nomination, but I was wrong. Mm-hmm. I was going big swings though. Big swings.
Yeah, that's all right. It got what it came for, and
it got what it needed to.
He didn't show up.
He slept through the whole thing. He did it. Yeah.
He's probably smoking a cigarette somewhere.
Awards mean nothing to a man of, I don't even, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Somewhere hating his life right now.
I love Up. Up is one I'm not like surprised or upset that it is in the best picture category, not even just best animated. It to me, it is one that it transcends what would be the normal audience of just animated films.
One of Disney Pixar's first film, or is the first Disney Pixar film to be presented in Disney Digital 3D. And now that I read that, I do sort of have this vague memory of having like those obnoxious 3D glasses on, just to like kind of be able to tell that the house was just floating away from the screen.
It's definitely a little cool. Raised there. Yeah.
Yeah. Are you, do you opt for 3D movies when given the opportunity? We're both glasses wearers.
We're glasses guys. I can't.
It's a huge headache.
You know, they have improved. They have improved the technology where the glasses are not as cumbersome. But back in the day, fuck no. Fuck no. That shit was so annoying over my glasses, and people are like, oh, let's go see it in 3D. I said, why? Are you a child? Like, can you not use your imagination that it's more dimensions?
Are you asking for motion sickness right now?
That's the other thing is some movies I'm sitting there and I'm like, whoa. I'm like, whoa, I don't feel so good all of a sudden. You know which one? Those D-Box. The D-Boxes are fun, but you throw in the 3D and the D-Box, and it's kind of like, uh-oh, I need to stand up for a second.
Yeah, like,
not to be totally lame, but I down a slushy during the fucking commercials. I have, like, a lump of processed sugar in my stomach. I just, and it's, like, starts sloshing around.
It's rough. It's not fun. But sometimes, like, I think I had to watch The Flash in 3D is like the only, maybe not. I don't know.
I'm being a hater, but like I said, I do feel like they've improved upon it. If I have to see something in 3D now, I'm not as upset as I used to be.
Yeah.
It looks better. And you know what? They're not, I'm going to jinx myself, but they used to fucking do was like, make sure you know it's in 3D. Like, they're like, well, hold on, let me grab this over here. And it was so, it ruined the movie for me. As soon as they did that, I was like, you're just fucking trying to show off here.
Yeah, it really never adds anything to the movie.
You know, it's a shame. And also, when I was a younger kid, not to like out my mom here, my mother is blind in one eye. She can't see 3D movies.
She was just,
I tell her she's not missing out on
the $2
much
premium just to give you that chance.
Just to give me the chance. Yeah. Moms.
Apparently someone's calculated it, but it would take approximately 20 to 30 million balloons to lift a house. Far more than what's depicted.
Far more than what's depicted.
Well, actually,
it's a fun concept, but you know, this movie was so popular, you know, nerds took to the internet and were like, how many balloons would it take to raise a house?
Oh yeah, they probably did an episode on Mythbusters about it.
Yeah.
Now, one thing I'm seeing, looking at their Wikipedia side by side,
mm-hmm.
both have music by Michael Giacchino. Is he an all-time great?
That's pretty good, because both of those musics are, like, I can picture, da-na-na-na. I use the Up sound on TikTok.
Yeah, it's one of the top ones.
It's one of the top but sounds.
I also use, I mean, I did.
We use Incredibles.
Incredibles. Dun, 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 dun. But I think it's been removed because of the Universal Music Rights, or it's one of those audios that's been removed.
This is such a small fact, but we use those sounds so often on TikTok.
They're very popular.
Oh my God.
Shout out
Two of our most popular TikToks had that fucking the syndrome. He's like,
Actually, the Grave of the Fireflies one is probably still up. Anyways,
it is, but you replaced the audio is the thing.
Okay,
classic. Oh, and the Up one is beautiful though. Wow, well, he's great at instilling motions, which is the job of a musician.
He's gonna go down as an all-time great for sure. Yeah.
He's showing up on both teams. He's like a doctor helping both teams.
That's a great analogy. All right, let's move on to the next matchup. This one,
last matchup.
Eastern Conference is, I totally
Eastern
agree
Conference
with you.
Is tough. The Eastern, I think, is a little tougher. I have ideas of what might happen on the West. The East, I'm, I don't know.
Both. So it's Inside Out, 2015 film versus Monsters Inc. This is fall 2001.
Which is really, you know, what's really crazy to me. is I never would have actually put Monsters, Inc. before Finding Nemo. You just kind of blew my mind there.
They're kind of like, yeah, they fall in the same, they're circa each other to me in my brain.
I'm a year younger than you, so I think our ages line up perfectly for like the age we saw this Pixar movie, and we're like, winner pick, it's them, they're taking it all.
Probably. Both directed by someone we've already mentioned this tournament, Pete Docter.
What? Pete Docter, who are you, sir? Good. Pete Docter.
Screenplay by Andrew Stanton, who directed, was it Coco that you were talking about? It was Finding Nemo.
It's Finding Nemo. Yeah, it's Finding Nemo.
You were talking about. Anyways, 2015 film that earned $858.8 million in today's dollars. $1.116 million. Billion. Yeah.
Another Billy on the board.
Monsters, Inc. earned, in 2001, $579.7 million. That's like...
Wow. Wow. In 2001?
In 2001.
Yeah, we were children. We couldn't imagine that type of money.
$1.01 billion in
another Billy on the board.
They're a powerhouse. Pixar is a powerhouse. I can imagine Bob Iger's disappointment with the recent string of duds post-pandemic.
Which is a shame because they're not dud story-wise, but it's
for sure.
I do think part of it's Disney. I think they need a pivot, and I think they know that. So we'll see if they pivot correctly. But yeah, do you have any facts on these two, or are we getting into results here? I'm excited. I'm ready.
I should have some. Let me pull them up real quick. All right, let's see. What are we on? We are on
Inside Out.
Inside Out, the first Pixar film to have two female leads. It passes the Bechdel test.
Wow. And you know what? I bet it's one of the few that passed the Bechdel test.
Also, the film originally considered including 27 emotions before cutting it down to 5.
That would have been extremely overwhelming. And they're adding 4 in the new one.
Yeah. So there's probably going to be a 3 at some point.
This is committing one of my biggest sins is when you make a sequel and people don't come back to voice their original voice.
Who's being replaced in the sequel?
Bill Hader's being replaced. And you know what? This is the second time Bill Hader's done this to me animated voice-wise. I'm starting to get a little upset.
The other one?
Bob's Burgers being the other one. And then also Mindy Kaling is not coming back.
She'll be missed, I guess. I don't know.
It's just
I haven't seen this movie.
It's annoying, is the thing.
Like watching this. Yeah.
What are you doing? What are you guys doing? That's more important than shooting for a month at most.
We've been doing
this podcast for a while now, 4 years, and each year my interest in being a voice actor goes up. I think it'd be so fun. I think it would be so fun.
I think it's a lot less glamorous than Pixar voice actors have it. I think it's a lot more grunt work along the lines of like anime dubs.
It is. Oh, it 100% is. And you know what's really funny? We talk about Critical Role, and
they're all
when I go back and watch these animes, I'm like, oh my god, wait, that's Matt, that's Laura, that's Travis. Like I hear them, and I'm like, I've been hearing their voices for years, and I just never knew it.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Inside Out. Great. Passed the Bechdel test. As a self-proclaimed feminist, I'm proud to hear that. It's about time, Disney. Monsters, Inc. Do it.
Yeah. Monsters, Inc. As you had said, Billy Crystal was previously considered for a role in Toy Story, and originally Bill Murray was considered for the role of Sully, but it went to John Goodman.
Bill Murray never came back. He never did a different Pixar movie, did he?
Well, what Pixar movie did he do?
No, I'm saying he didn't. I can't think of... He never voiced anything in Pixar.
Yeah,
they get a lot of famous actors. I feel like I'm always surprised when I hear they have a big name in their movie. But like looking all the way back to the beginning of their films, they've gotten the big voices. So I need to stop being surprised when I see that.
The fun facts I'm gathering here are not all that fun. The film was sued before and after its release.
You're like, I don't want to hurt my winner pick here. Why'd they get sued?
For a similarity to some character designs, but I think knowing
hogwash.
Disney. Hogwash. Yeah, I don't want to besmirch.
You know what
I mean.
My innocent until proven guilty.
So I don't have a very fun fact for.
That's okay. That's all right. Billy Crystal, Bill Murray almost would have been the Bills. I think it worked out. John Goodman's a good voice for it. So
he's great. He's perfect. Yeah.
Results. Let's get into results. I'm antsy. I know this is probably the more fun way to do it, but I am antsy for these results. So let's do it. So first up, we have Toy Story and Coco with 62% of the votes. Moving on to the final four. Our one seed Toy Story. Ooh, clap, clap, clap. I know a lot of people that are going to be really upset. I know
this
a lot of people
you gotta
that
vote,
really...
folks. This is why you have to vote.
Wow, our one seed moves on. This is why it's the one seed, though. It's the classic. Mm-hmm. 62% of the votes, though, much closer than last round.
Margins
much
are getting
closer.
Tighter, for sure.
The numbers are getting tighter, which is crazy to see. Okay, congratulations, Toy Story. I won't lie, I'm a little upset. I kind of wanted to see the upset with Coco.
As did I.
I thought it could do it. I thought it really could do it. Coco.
Maybe not this year, maybe next year, you know?
You played well. Your fans are dedicated. Your fans are there. I want you to know that. Like, they feel strong and passionately. I'll be honest. I'm just based on hearing people talk to me in real life, I'm very shocked by this result. All right. Second matchup. We got Finding Nemo versus Ratatouille with 60% of the vote. Closer margins here. We have our winner, our second seed, Finding Nemo. Congratulations, Finding Nemo.
Your pick moves
on. 60% of the vote is close, though. I told you those Ratatouille fanboys were going to come out.
Yeah.
Damn.
To Brendan Smith.
So we're we didn't touch on this at the top, but all four of our seeds made it to the round of eight. Our one and two seed both have just moved on here. So moving to our three seed, which is Up versus The Incredibles. We do have it kind of funky there. But here we go. Incredibles versus Up with 69% of the vote. We have an upset. Incredibles is moving on, beating Up. An upset. Wow.
69%.
At 69%.
That is the Pixar mom effect, baby.
Mrs. Incredibles effect here. Wow.
Up is out. Our first seeded
up is out.
Player
our first
is out
seed,
of the tournament.
Our seeded player is out. That being said, though, I could have seen this going either way, but I am a little surprised. I don't know why. I did think Up would probably carry through. You know, it almost won Best Picture at the Oscars. It's an honor to be nominated. And
I think
Incredibles is incredible, though.
The silent sequence in the beginning of Up is maybe overweighted in people's memories. I think Incredibles is the more enjoyable experience all the way
top
through.
Top to bottom.
Top
Honey,
to bottom.
Yeah. Where's my super suit?
Love
that
Up.
That is Samuel
no
L. Jackson's first superhero movie.
Wow.
That's a big deal because he's
the Godfather. Avengers. He's the Godfather. Yeah. We're Crazy. About to get another incredible family in the MCU to sort of bookend it.
Yeah, I don't know. Kind of. All right.
Wow. The Michael Giacchino bracket.
All right. Incredibles. Very incredible for you. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. I'm happy, though. I'll be honest. I think Incredibles deserves this. It's a top 14.
It's a bit of an upset.
It is. It really
and
is.
I'm happy about it. I'm rooting for the underdogs.
Okay. We got your. Speaking of underdogs, we have your winner pick taking on our fourth seed here. We have Inside Out versus Monsters, Inc. I'll be honest, Evan, I think you're about to be upset here, but I'm going to take a look at this one. I hate that you know and I don't. Okay, here we go. With 73, our biggest win of the day, 73%, Monsters, Inc. is moving on.
Let's go, baby.
Our fourth seed is upset as well. So we've lost two seeds this round and two moved on. Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Monsters, Inc. took the biggest win of the day over Inside Out. Finding Nemo took the littlest win of the day against Ratatouille,
you're some hot
who
water.
I would have argued. I thought Ratatouille was going to be the easiest competition here. Ooh, my fish are in some hot water here.
Oh, yeah. This is getting spicy, this next round.
This next round. I mean, this. We had people who couldn't vote last time. I imagine they're going to have similar issues here. We have Toy Story versus Finding Nemo, and then we have Incredibles versus Monsters, Inc. This is all kind of in that same era, like I said. This is, like I said, if you were going to show people the eight Pixar movies, these would probably be the first four you want to show them. Like, damn. I mean, look, I'm happy with how this has turned out. These are the, I think these four teams represent Pixar Studios very well. I don't know what's going to happen from here out.
This is tough. Yeah. This is anyone's game now. In the West, we have Toy Story, our number one seed, 100% on Rotten Tomatoes,
100%.
Up against Finding Nemo, the second seed. They're separated by what? One percentage point? Was that?
Yeah. That's a tough call. Like, I know I have a winner pick here. The highest earner in the Billy on the board. But Toy Story, if it had been a couple of years later, if it wasn't the first one, Toy Story could have broken a billion. It was close enough. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
A billion in inflation standards.
I'd be curious to see how 2 held up at the box office. That was a great film. Even 3.
Well,
3 would have been right
watch...
when like movies started hitting a billion at the box office. You know?
I am going to start watching all 4 of these this week. I want to come super informed for next week. This is tough. Go vote. Make sure your voice is heard. You could probably, I think you can vote more than once if you wait a day. Not me rigging the ballot, but this is a tough
Multiple
one.
Devices.
I want to know what you guys think. Yeah, stuff the ballot box.
So we talked about the Western Finals. In the Eastern Conference Finals, we have Incredibles versus Monsters, Inc.
You know what?
I just want to take a moment to applaud Incredibles. It had a tough...
It had a tough bracket.
It got through up. Up.
Yeah, and its first round, it was against... oh my God, I'm blanking, and I had the name of the movie on the tip of my tongue. It was against Luca, and we love Luca.
Luca,
and
yeah.
Luca's not, like, it won handily, but, like, that's still a good win. That's not a sheepish win by any means.
No easy matchups. Monsters, Inc., obviously my winner pick. It's, you know.
Monsters, Inc., though, maybe has had the hardest bracket, and they're here, and they're pushing.
Yeah. So.
WALL-E, and then Inside Out, our fourth seed. I didn't think we would see Monsters, Inc. here. That's what I'm saying. I think Monsters, Inc. for sure is at the toughest path. You chose a team with the toughest path to win, and I chose a team with the easiest path to win. This is where Finding Nemo has to, like, kick it into gear. And I'll be honest, with a 60% over Ratatouille, I'm nervous.
This is exciting. It's more important now than ever to vote in Pixar
March
actually. Madness.
You need to have your voice heard here if you want any say in what the final two teams are going to be here. This is crazy. We started with 16 and we are down to 4.
Final 4
this was
next
fun.
Week.
I like how we've done this. I don't know. I know you know, and
this
you're pretending
great.
Not to. This is good. Okay. go check out the other ones, but make sure you watch out these 4 movies this week. Get informed. And make sure you vote. Whatever you do, go vote.
And hey, if you are enjoying Pixar March Madness or just the podcast in general, one, thanks for being here. Thanks for voting and participating. This has been a lot of fun to do on our podcast, which we've been doing now for like 4 years. And sometimes
it's crazy.
Can feel like a chore. It's a lot of fun. We do this for love. We do this for our love of animation. And so we're glad to have you along the journey. But if you would like to support the pod, you can do so at the link in our bio. You can leave us a little tip if you've enjoyed any of our episodes. We also have merch. We're rocking some fresh
Two
Dudes
hats.
Dude 1 and Dude 2. Dude 2 hats. Some shirts.
You're so nice for making yourself Dude 2. I don't know I would have done that. I would have been Dude 1 either way.
Alphabetical. Whatever. I don't care. Yeah.
Alphabetical. They're great. Look at it. It's beautiful. And
there's also one with the two of our podcast
artwork
on it.
If you don't want to pick who's your favorite mom or dad, you could get one with the podcast art.
There's also a There's No Movie in Bossing Say shirt, which is a new addition to the merch.
Love it.
As well.
This is great. Ooh, all right. So go check out that link while you are voting. And catch us next week. Yeah, go vote. That's all I can say is go vote. Turnout's been great. But like I said, I think as we get less and less teams, less people will vote. But this is when we need the votes more than ever, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
These are going to be the close ones. These are going to be the nail biters.
Yeah, we're going to be crowning a champion here pretty soon. Next week is just a couple weeks. You know, the championship match. Ooh, and the week after that, we'll announce it.
Yep. All right, so, we'll go vote. If you're listening to this right now, you can go vote. And thank you for joining us. And we will catch you next week.
That will do it for this episode of Two Dudes Watch Cartoons. We will catch you next time.
Two Dudes Watch Cartoons.